Guess Attack on Titan's quiet this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get this. We've got two episodes to talk about, but for some reason I feel like the Attack on Titan one is not going to take us 50 minutes to do one episode last week.
Not a lot happened. It was very much filling in a few of the blanks in the... It was 3 years, actually. I was on the impression it was a four-year time skip, but no, apparently it's only been three.
Yeah, I think... Maybe it's like it's leading up to four, but semantics. Anyway, yes, it's the time skip.
Yeah, it's now like, okay, here's what happened after season three.
Let's have story time with Armin.
Yeah, because the whole framing device is Armin is talking to somebody, and I'm like, at first I thought he was meant to be talking to Eren, but then no, he starts referring to Eren, and I'm like, well, it would be really weird if he was talking to Eren.
I was about to say, it's like, Armin, I was there. I know all this.
I mean, this is an anime. I wouldn't be surprised for characters to just start explaining shit they already know.
You know what? That's bad.
Yeah, but it cuts back to 3 years prior when, like, I'm assuming the first of Marley's ships. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't the first, because I remember, because, like, a ship full of Marley soldiers arrives to Paradise, and then Eren in his Titan form just picks up, this is my boat now, just to...
Yeah, everyone's like, we sent some soldiers ahead, and they haven't returned yet. Oh, I'm sorry, it's totally fine. Oh, God, that's the devil! Like,
yeah.
Eren
and then
rises it up.
Hanji continues to be the best by basically going, hey, guys, welcome to Paradise!
Oh, God, I've missed this.
She's just there like, oh, now step this way. Whilst they've got, like, another Mali soldier as a hostage, like, Levi's jabbing his sword into the guy's back. What's his name again? Because I know he has a name.
Niccolo.
Niccolo, yeah. Hanji's just super friendly.
Let's have some tea. I don't want any of your tea.
It's just the funniest thing.
It's just her mannerisms and expressions. It's like, oh yeah, Andre is larger than life the whole time.
The thing is, though, I can't tell if it's genuine or if it's just a front, and I don't know which is scarier.
It's a mixture of both, I'm convinced. I think it's a mixture of both with Hanji.
Yeah, anyway, the Mali soldiers are like, oh, we don't negotiate. And it's like, you do realise there's a big-ass Titan right behind you. And it's like...
No, Hanji literally points that out. They all look up and it's just Eren staring down at them. And it's like, oh yeah,
yep.
Big Titan, do you really want to fight?
Yep, I'm still here. But yeah, the Mali's, well, the leader of this little squadron is like, oh, I don't care anyway. But then, like, a gunshot goes off, and it's like, and then Yelena is there, and, like, half the soldiers then turn their guns on the other soldiers. So it's like, an incursion. And this is the part that was like, I think this was the biggest surprise to me for this episode, is the revelation that, because at first I'm like, okay, why would Mali soldiers betray Marley? And it turns out it's because these guys aren't Marley soldiers. They're soldiers, but they're from different countries that Marley's conquered, and they're really butthurt about it.
Just a tad annoyed.
So they're like, well, they'd be anti-Marleyan volunteers or something.
Yeah.
So, and that's why they want to team up with the Eldians and Paradise, because they ultimately want the same thing, to get rid of Marley.
It's also just the Yelena's expressions when she looks on at Eren as well, that first time. Like,
oh,
I've longed to meet you. I'm like, that... It's like, at this moment, you're like, you're meant to be on our side? That's a little worrying, though.
Here's the thing, though. Yelena would be very attractive if she wasn't clearly insane.
Yes, like, when... At one point in the flashback, like, she mentioned that Zeke saved her at some point, and she essentially sees them as gods. Like, not even, like... Like, oh, admired and all this. No, literally godlike figures. It's like, oh.
I mean, you can't blame her for thinking that, but yeah. And,
I feel like she's the most zealot. The zealot of the bunch.
Oh, definitely. But the whole point is that, because I don't want to do like a play-by-play, because this episode is entirely talking. Although I think at one point they tell Hanji and Levi, you know, like, Marley's got, like, planes now, right? And they're like, what? What's a plane?
The fact they go through, they've got planes, there's a million troops.
Yes.
Like, oh, that's bad.
So they ask, like, well, hang on a second. If Marley could just wipe us out so easily, why haven't they done it already? And it's like, well, part of that, ironically, is because of all the pure titans they've let loose in on the island. So they can't get through that. And so, ironically, the titans are also keeping Marley away. It's just like, oh...
Which I think actually answered the thing like you had, I think, last season, where you're like, wait, why hasn't Marley properly invaded? There's the reason why.
Yeah. Also, they're also, like, still butthurt to the fact that they lost two titans. It's like, damn it! So, like, you know, the warriors came back like, hey, we got the jaw back. Great. Where's the Colossus and the female? About that.
Yeah, they're taken captive. Well, one of them is. The other's now part of them. God damn it!
Yeah. And, oh yeah, and I also do like as well when Yelena points out, like, wait, so you guys have been killing all the pure titans we've been sending, right? And she's like, that's way better than I thought it was going to go. You guys are awesome. We want in.
We want in. We want to help because we want to help the Eldians. And then it cuts to...
Well, is it a case of they legitimately want to help, or is it a case of, hey, you guys hate Marley, we hate Marley, eh?
Who knows?
It's like a team-up of convenience. I don't think they particularly care about the way Eldians are treated. It's just a case of, look, we want to get rid of Marley. Marley's a problem for you guys. Like, we should collaborate.
Let's work together. And then immediately stab you in the back later, maybe. Who knows? Who knows? Except me.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episode. So we then get back to Hanji basically bringing Zeke's terms.
Yeah, that baffles.
The gore.
To be fair, I'm honestly kind of with all the no-name soldier dudes who were like, why the shit should we listen to anything Zeke says? He killed so many of our guys.
Yeah. Like, he's killed so many of our people. He turned the entirety of Ruggedo into titans. Meanwhile, one of the few people from Ruggedo who's still human is sitting right there.
Yeah,
Connie in this scene.
I actually do like how when they bring up that moment where that whole village got turned to titans, like, it doesn't make a big deal of it, but the camera deliberately, it's a shot of, like, Floke and Mikasa and the rest of the group, but, like, you can see Connie just looking down, and I just think there's a very nice, subtle reminder, oh yeah, his whole family got turned into titans. Poor dude.
Yeah, pretty much. It's kind of heartbreaking.
And at least I still have you, Sasha. 2 days later. Shit!
Oh, don't. This whole flashback seeing Sasha all the time, it's like,
oh yeah,
stop.
The moment, like, seeing Sasha alive again, I'm like, oh, screw you, show. I know what you're doing.
There are worse things they could have said, like the bit when she was napping and Mikasa's waking her up. It's like, oh, don't, no.
It's okay, stop Sasha. It. It's okay, Sasha. Take all the naps you want now, girl.
Nope, we're still not over it.
Anyway. So Zeke has some secret plan to, you know, overthrow Marley, or, like, rather to help the Eldians. And I love the fact, and again, it's like, I have a secret plan. What is it? I'm not going to tell you. Anyway, trust me. Oh, thanks, Zeke.
Should we trust the man who says he has a plan he's not willing to go into details with, and is also responsible for the death of pretty much most of the scout regiment?
Yeah, but, like, apparently the plan involves the founding titan and somebody with royal blood, which, you know, I was like, that's what Marley's after anyway, so already I don't trust you, Zeke. And it's at this point where Eren's like, wait a second, that titan I punched all the way back in season 2 was my dad's first wife. It's like, oh.
Well, the thing was, he remembered that back in season 3, but it was like he kept that a secret from everyone because of Historia's sake, and now he's actually bringing it up that, oh yeah, by the way, guys, I can do that when I touch someone of royal blood. Why didn't you bring this up before, Eren? I didn't want to eat Historia. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm with Eren on that one. I wouldn't have told anybody that if I was him.
It's like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, fair point.
Also, now that I think about it, oh my god, Historia, it's been so long. What are you doing here? I'm just sitting here and looking pretty.
Okay, yeah, not gonna get much better, I'm afraid.
I mean, it makes sense. She's the queen. Like, she shouldn't be involved in the action, you know. when you're queen, your job is literally to sit there and look pretty. That's like.
But it's after everything that happened in season 2 and 3, it really does suck.
It's been I'm not going to say, oh, I hope she gets to kill Porco, because I know it's not going to happen, even though it should.
Get Ymir back.
Oh, no, she ain't coming back.
Oh, God.
But,
nope, they did.
Anyway, and then I think after that, you know, the parody soldiers are still like, well, we don't want any Malian soldiers on this island. And, because what ends up basically happening is we get a quick little montage of like all these Malian ships being lured to Paradis by Yelena, yep, being forced to like jump overboard because Armin shows up as the Colossal Titan. They jump overboard, swim to shore, and immediately get captured at gunpoint. Because, oh yeah, by the way, the reason why they have the guns when they attacked Mali was because the anti-Malian volunteers gave them them. That's where, yep, they got those guns in the first place. I'm like, oh, that's neat. I like that. So, yeah, a bunch of, like, Mali soldiers are being caught. And to be fair, I do like this little sort of montage. It's not, I wouldn't call it, like, a montage, but it's just basically a bunch of scenes.
Mm-hmm. Little snippets.
Sort of snippets of basically the, ironically, the captured soldiers, I guess, it going through Stockholm Syndrome and just being like, you know what, you Eldians aren't so bad. I mean, it's not like, super, like, they don't make a big deal out of it, but they're a very, like... Like, well, for example, actually, before we get to that, there's that nice moment where I keep forgetting his name, James.
On Yonkapon,
the really handsome-looking bastard who's like, oh, yes, I'm so cool and handsome, yes. Like, we get a nice scene there where Sasha's like, hey, how come you're black? And I'm like, Sasha, you can't just ask
can't
people
that.
But, like, the moment she said that, I was like, oh yeah, there have been no black people on Paradis. That's actually a very good point.
Yeah, this is the first time they've seen a person like that. So, and to be fair, Anyokopon takes it in his stride. He's like, well, God thought that there needs to be a more interesting with mix. And he's like, yeah. Ah.
And I'm like, oh, that's interesting that old school Christian religion exists in this world, but also don't bring God into this. I don't want that to be the twist, like, because he says as well, oh, God made Ymir, clearly, and I'm like, oh, I hope that's not the twist. I hope at last you gather the 9 titans, put them in a circle, and like the heavens open up, and I'm just describing the ending of Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood now. I will not be bound by your consequences.
Oh God! They all get their Titan forms. It's like, okay, we need to defeat God and use the Titan forms to defeat God. No, please don't do that.
To be fair, that sounds rad on paper. Also, actually, slightly off topic, I saw a thing where, because I think there's like a top 100 anime thing on IMDb or something.
Yeah.
And I saw a post somebody made where they said, oh, be sure to vote for Attack on Titan. And it was a screen grab of Attack on Titan, the final season, and Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. And I was like, wow, that is just wrong. I am sorry. Like, I know the show's not finished, but, oh, Attack on Titan's better than Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood?
Nope.
No. Sorry, no. That's a fact. That's just that is untrue.
FMA Brotherhood will always be one of the best.
It is factually the best anime. I don't know why I don't even know why it's a topic of discussion anymore. When it's like, oh, what do you think's the best at Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood? Not even a question. Next. Anyway, then we get the nice scene I was talking about where it's Niccolo, sorry, I keep forgetting his name. But yep. He's such a minor character, he's not going to do anything in this show, I can tell. But, like, and this I like. Like, this guy's, like, actually a Malian. He's not with the volunteers, he's now captured and basically forced to make food for everybody. And he's like, I hate you all so much. But he makes all this seafood for the group. And they're like, oh my God, this food's tasting great. Because they've never had seafood before, so it's blowing.
But Sasha's, like, she grabs the lobster, tears into it, and she's like, oh my God.
It's very in character. But then you get this really nice bit where he's sort of like, oh, just take your time, there's plenty. And he sort of like turns away and he's like, oh, actually, maybe these guys aren't so bad. And I'm watching this bit of him like blushing a little bit over Sasha, and I'm like, why do this? Like, This feels so unnecessary. But you know what? It doesn't make too much of a thing about it, so I'll let it slide.
It's just the thing of like saying, look, they are getting along. There are overcoming barriers.
And jumping ahead a little bit, there's like a very brief scene where I'm assuming these are Malian captives, but they're like in a room with Hanjay. And she's got like a, I guess in there showing her what a train is, because they made like a little model, and she's losing her mind over this train. And you see like the Malian soldiers being like, they're kind of like smiling a little bit, like, oh, you know what, maybe these guys aren't so bad. And all of this while Armin's talking about, see, maybe if we just understand each other, we don't need to fight. And Eren's like, man, am I going to disappoint you in like a few years?
Am I going to be just a massive amount of disappointment for everybody involved?
Because Armin's whole logic is, hey, let's just like try and form peace with these people. And Eren's like, nah, gotta kill them all. And I'm like, oh, okay. Which, to be fair, you know, I don't know why I'm surprised when season 3 literally ended with him pointing out at the horizon and saying, if we kill everybody over there, will we be free? And it's like, yeah...
Are we sure Eren's not a bad guy yet?
Well, it seems to me that Eren is very much ready to embrace the designation.
Antagonist role.
Well, he's like, hey, they call us devils. Like, we are seen as monsters, and they're not wrong. We are monsters. So I say, let's embrace it and use it. Like, I think he even says at one point that, like, he thinks they should go through Zeke's plan so that they can at least threaten Marley with the possibility of the rumbling.
Yeah.
I don't know if Eren necessarily wants to use it, but basically he's like, let's just get the gun and point it at their heads. Like,
no, you know exactly what it is. It's the nuclear option.
Yes, actually, that's a way better.
It's like
comparison.
It's basically saying, yeah, we have the nukes, threaten us, we will use it. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you are literally threatening the entire world with extinction. Are you sure this is a good idea?
It's interesting because, you know, I think the sad thing is that apart from me, you know, I don't like what Eren's done, but as much as I love Armin's, hey, let's just settle things peacefully plan, I don't think Marley would ever have gone through with that. I don't think they ever would have.
It could have been the way of like Marley would keep overcompensating his troops, trying to take down Paradis, and it's keep like saying, "Look, let's keep trying for peace." Marley's going to keep losing, and eventually they're going to have to listen.
Maybe. And I do also like how, because Mikasa points out, hey, there are Malians here now who like us, so it's not a complete lost cause trying to solve things peacefully. And Eren's like, yes, but they're all in prison. It's like, oh, I hate it when he's right.
Especially when we then see a scene a little while later where, like, all the volunteers get arrested at gunpoint.
Yeah, I was sort of like, Pixis, what the shit?
And these Pixis is like, yeah, this is bad on us, I'm sorry.
He's like, oh, because Yelena and the volunteers show up with, like, because then, I think it's around this point the flashback ends, and we cut back to the present day, where I'm assuming Eren's in prison. And that seems a little bit further ahead, we jump quite a bit, but yeah, like, Yelena and her group show up with, like, you know, oh, that's right, they got the Titan
serum.
That's right. Because I remember seeing, oh, hey, here's all the Titan serum we were able to procure. And I'm like, why would you bring this here?
Destroy it. Destroy it now.
I'm scared. Like, the fact that, like, hey, people who can turn into Titans by injecting this very specific serum into their bodies, here's the serum. I'm like, what are you going to do with that? Don't do what I think you're going to do with that. But yeah, the point is...
This is a terrible implication, isn't it?
Yeah, they brought it and Pixis is like, oh shit, you actually did bring it. Well, now I feel bad that we're arresting you. And Yelena's like, oh, don't worry, we'll dine at the same table soon. And which, to be fair, that line has me thinking, are you going to betray him? Like, is that what's going to happen?
Are you going to betray him? Do you have ulterior motives, Yelena?
A part of me thinks that they do. Like, I don't think, like, you know, I already said this before, but I really don't think that they're, like, completely altruistic. At least not... To be fair, I don't think they necessarily paint themselves as altruistic, but...
Yeah, well, I feel like Anyang Kapon does more so than Yelena.
Well, to be fair, he hasn't had a lot of screen time, so...
He gets more later.
Oh, does he? Okay. But
yeah, I'd actually say Anyang Kapon's one of my favourite characters introduced, like, this part of the manga.
Oh, okay. Can't wait for him to die later.
No! Why would you say that?
Hey, that's how the show works, man. We can't have cool characters.
Oh.
But rewinding back a bit, because we don't get a funeral scene for Sasha, but we get a scene of the characters.
The aftermath.
Yeah, at like her grave. They don't put a potato on there. I'm like, okay, they didn't do that. I'm like, you know what? Good. I don't think my heart could have taken it. And I'm like, you know, Mikasa just sort of sitting there quietly. And to be fair, I think this might actually be my favourite scene of the episode, because she then turns around and sees, like, one of the Eldian soldiers going, "Hey, aren't you a Malian? Get the hell out of here!" And it's like, oh, look, it's what Mali doing to Eldians, where, like, the Malians are now getting mistreated over here. And it's like, oh, the cycle of hatred and violence continues. We're all equally awful. And, like, you know, it's sort of like, oh, shit. And, like, poor Niccolo is, like, head, like, face first in the grass.
Yeah.
Like, oh man, I was attracted for Sasha for all of like 2 seconds and now she's dead.
Like, at least Sean and Connie come up to like help him out.
Yeah, because they're good boys.
Yeah.
You guys are all right.
To be fair as well, though, it was also one of the military police who was attacking Niccolo, and, well, they're all shits anyway, so...
Yeah, so, yeah, poor Niccolo's all like, I've had character development off-screen, and now I'm sad that Sasha's dead. And, like... Oh, yeah, and then Mikasa makes the very stupid decision to tell them, oh, yeah, by the way, like, this one girl shot her. Definitely not a normal girl. And Niccolo's like, oh, probably one of the warriors then. I'm like, why tell her? Why tell him, rather? No!
I'm sure nothing bad will come from this at all.
Yeah, and... Yeah, like I said, just a really nice moment of, like, you know, Connie thanks him for letting Sasha get to eat tasty food.
Oh, Connie's line.
Oh, yeah.
Connie's damn line.
Yeah, he says, like, he feels like he lost a twin. Yeah, sort of like, oh.
A part of me died. It's like, oh, dude.
It's weird because, let's be real, like, Connie and Sasha have never had, like, explicit focus. Like, their relationship has never, like, been, like, a central plot, or, like, isn't... Let me start.
They've never been like plot relevant. They've always been like more the supporting cast.
Yeah, any relationship that's developed between those two has always been in the background. Yeah, I still feel like when Connie said that line, I still believe it. Even if we've never like spent too much time with those two, I'm still like, I buy that. I buy that Connie like saw Sasha as like a sister. Hmm. And it's like really sad. And the thing is though, I was going to criticize this scene because I was like, why is Niccolo here? Why make a new character for the scene when you could have just as easily had Sasha's dad? And then I turn and I'm like, oh, there's Sasha's
there's
dad.
Sasha's dad.
And I'm assuming like two other relatives are with him. I don't know if they're meant to be like Sasha's mum and sister or whatever, but like
I think they are. I think so.
Which is like, and they're there to like look at her grave. And I was, and at this point, Niccolo approaches the dad and he mentions like that he's a Captain Marlian, but he's been working as a chef. And that, your daughter loved eating my food more than anyone else. And if they ever want to, they could come and eat his food. And I was like, Sasha's dad, don't punch him. Do not punch him, please. And thankfully, he doesn't. Like, they shake hands.
To be fair, Sasha's dad always has been more on the level than, like, in the one other episode we saw him in, admittedly.
Well, it would have been just so easy to sort of have him, like, deck Niccolo and be all like, damn, Marlians, you're all scum. And it's like, you're the reason my daughter's dead. But instead, he just extends a hand, is like, on the house, right? And Niccolo's like, yeah, of course. And it's like, aw.
Aw.
It's just a nice bit of, like, you know... I don't know the right word for it, but it's just nice.
I feel like after everything else and after seeing all like the negativity, it's nice to get a moment of genuine humanity from a character in this scenario. Mm. And we may see more of Mr. Blouse later as well.
Oh damn! Yeah, and then we get like a scene of Levi and Zeke in like a carriage.
Oh my god!
Trying not to murder each other.
Please stop staring at me.
Yeah, that's great. And Levi's like, no.
It's just the fact that he's terrified of Levi. It's like, yeah, Levi could kill you in any second.
To be fair, though, because Zeke's not, like, restrained or anything. He's sitting there, like, free as a bird. I'm like, I mean, what's stopping Zeke from just turning into Beast Titan form right here? Like, I doubt Levi has, like... could get out of the way fast enough to not get immediately crushed.
Oh, I don't know. We've seen how fast Levi can be.
I mean, I suppose the answer is that Zeke's on the level and that he does actually intend to, like, go through whatever his plan is. And then, to be fair, and then we get a really funny scene because, like, Levi's all like, oh, don't worry, we've got a nice hotel for you, and then dumps him in the middle of the woods.
Not just any wood, it's the forest of huge trees from the last few seasons. Like, is there any other forests on this damn island? Is there anything else?
And the thing is, the thing that makes me laugh is that Zeke looks genuinely shocked. He's like, wait, what? I'm not getting a hotel? And it's like, no, you murderous bastard. You're not getting a hotel.
You murdered so many of our friends. Be grateful that we're not killing you right now.
Could I at least get one of those mints that you put on the pillows? The hell's a mint?
Oh, God damn it. It's the nice little things before the, oh yeah, shock and horror.
Meanwhile, in prison. Hey, Gabby, you holding up okay?
Oh my God,
there, buddy?
Gabby's losing it. Like, she's literally just repeating Eren's name and, like, clenching her teeth. It's like, oh no.
It's like, okay, whatever you do, don't say you know whose name. What, Eren? Eren Yeager! Oh, God damn it.
Oh, God damn it. We just quietened her down, for God's sake. Poor Falco's there as well, and he's just like, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm just sitting here.
Oh, I want to go home. Wait, no, I don't. What no, do I don't. Falco's there like, what do I want?
I mean, he probably want to go home to see his brother again, but that's about it.
Yeah, and anyway, like, and then we cut back to Armin, like, telling the story and being all like, oh, like, we killed so many people. Oh, we're assholes. But we had to destroy the port. Otherwise, like, Marley would have, like, come back to attack us. And I'm like, what's even the plan, guys?
He goes, now I feel just like how you must have felt, right, Annie? And it points, shows Annie back in the crystal. It's like, oh yeah, there's Annie.
Oh, the show does remember her.
I'm sure she's getting out of there any day now. Yeah. Any day now.
I mean, I like Armin talking to her about this because he now feels how they felt that they had no... like he says the line like, we killed any chance for peace, but we had no choice. And it's like, oh, poor Armin.
Yeah. I like it as well. It also hints to his relationship between the others as well. Like, literally, he can't say this to anybody else. Like, he can only talk to a person trapped in crystal, essentially.
Yeah, his friendship, at least with Eren, I think, has deteriorated really badly.
Yep.
Meanwhile, like, Eren's just saying... What's Eren saying? He's like, fight and win.
Yeah, he's just repeating, fight, fight. But it also cuts to Mikasa, and she's saying the same thing. Like, she's saying fight, fight and die, or fight and live, something like that.
I do actually wonder where those two are going to go, because our mutual friend Josh is convinced that Mikasa is going to kill Eren, which I totally believe. I could totally see that happening. It's all just a matter of how far will Mikasa go for Eren.
How far should he go for Eren? What's Eren's deal, essentially? Like, well, how far he's going to go? I think it might be, if not the next episode, it'd be one of the few episodes I'll be bringing up again my thoughts on his appearance and how it kind of ties to the main story a little bit. Because if you keep looking at him, you think, doesn't he look like, yes he does, and there's a reason for that.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm not going to think about it too much.
Save it for later. Thoughts for later.
Yeah, so, yeah, pretty, like, much slower, quieter episode, which we kind of do need after the last
few. The insanity. you need quiet moments. You definitely need it, and it's...
I know it's, like, I'm normally one to criticise when shows are too heavy on the action, but I hope that we don't enter, like, a massive lull where it feels like nothing is happening for a while. Like, I want things to sort of pick up. At the very least, what is Zeke's plan, okay? Like...
That one might take a long while, but it'll be a couple of episodes, I imagine, for that one.
Yeah, I do. At the end of the day, like, we did learn some stuff in this episode. It wasn't like we're just sitting around watching characters speak about bullshit we already knew.
It wasn't that episode from season two that
episode.
Josh hated.
Sod that episode. Was a waste of time.
I loved it. We watched it first and like, God, that was a waste of time. And we were warning Josh, and Josh was like, I'm sure it'd be fine. What the hell is this? Why is this here?
Hey guys, you remember how Eren is angry all the time? Yes! Didn't need a flashback for that.
It's not like it's its entire character trait. Yeah, it's... that. Sod that episode. At least this one actually had meaning and relevance. And it thankfully, it didn't show too much of the next episode, which hopefully means that there's going to be a little bit more stuff happening and a little more action.
I actually do remember watching the preview, and I'm like, that told me absolutely nothing. I bet something crazy is going to happen next episode.
Oh, so many people are going to die, aren't they?
Yes. I don't think people are going to die, but I think something wild's going to take place. I don't know, Gabby breaks out of prison and, like, I don't know, shoots Connie this time. It's like, stop shooting our guys, Gabby!
Stop shooting the characters we like!
Just keep all the guns away from her.
Keep all the guns, knives, everything that can be used as a weapon, keep it far away from Gabby. Oh, God, the true final boss, Gabby.
That'd be wild. Yeah. It won't happen. I don't think that's going to happen. That would seem a bit weird. But...
that would be a, whoa, okay. But, yeah, that was pretty much Attack on Titan. Should we talk about Ruby?
Yes, Volume 8's back!
is back.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord, it's only been a couple of months and it feels like years.
Yeah, it's like I joked last time, oh, Ruby will cheer us up. And like, I mean, to be fair, nothing... I mean, nobody died in this episode.
I was going to say, there was a couple of moments of like, oh, that's actually really nice compared to some of the horrors in Attack on Titan.
It definitely feels like... Which is funny because this is like definitely, I think, very horror-esque, this episode. Mm. Like, it's very clearly meant to be drawing off of like horror movies. But honestly, I was like, you know what, Ruby? After the shit I've been watching on Attack on Titan, this feels like small potatoes, if I'm going to be honest.
And there's a couple of those that do make you go, ooh, okay, where we go? It's like, it doesn't linger long. Like, Attack on Titan, it's the whole season. This, it's like, it's just a bit.
Which is ironic, because Volume 8 is easily one of the darkest seasons we've had in the show so far.
Oh, without a doubt.
But, like, the episode begins with, like, the Crow and the others in prison, just, like, hearing explosions going on outside, Jacques trying not to wet himself. And he's like, you get what you deserve, asshole. But then...
your kids are fixing your ship, by the way.
Yeah, oh, that's great. But yeah, but then, like, there's, like, something bursts through the walls... and
just there's this massive explosion and like everyone's like knocked down. Robin Quibby sees, was it a raven or a crow? I can't remember.
Okay, here's the thing. I've seen a lot of people going like, because at one point Robin looks down like just before like the rubble falls on top of her. She sees like some black bird, and I saw people losing their minds going, guys, raven's back. And I'm like, have you all forgotten that crow can also do that? You know, the character who was in the same room.
Yeah,
guys, I don't think it's Raven. I feel like you're setting yourselves up for disappointment.
Do we even think the Raven's going to come back anytime soon?
Take it from a White Rose shipper. Don't set yourself up for expectations. You will be disappointed.
Yeah, and that's pretty much all we see of them, except for Watts, for the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, so like I think that's just there to let us know Crow and Robin going to break out. They'll help the good guys. Don't worry.
They're but just going to be here for a little while.
Because the rest of the episode takes place at the Schnee Manor, which I like to call Little Red Riding Hood if the wolf didn't like mess around and just tried to eat somebody, except they're targeting Pinocchio, who's there for some reason, and Snow White and her family are helping out.
This is a weird crossover.
I'm not sure about this fanfic. But yeah, so...
the Brothers Grimm are somersaulting in their graves right now.
So, like, Ruby, Weiss and Whitley, like, bring Penny's body into, like, the same room as Nora's, who's awake, by the way, which is like, yes, Nora's awake!
Yay!
I mean, she's still in bed, still not, like, recovered.
She can't move or do anything, but she's awake.
And they're basically like, Klein, do something! And Klein's like, well, it's a good thing I know about robotics. Oh, wait, no, he doesn't, because he even says, like, he has no idea what she even is. Like,
like he has a vague idea. He's like, okay, I can close this. That's about all I can do at the moment.
Damn it, Jim, I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
And then we cut to, where's May? Oh, there's May, she's going.
Yeah, well, May's gone to, like, obviously... you know, the people in the crater still need looking after. And I like, she's even like, you know what? it's fine that you guys are staying. Things are getting crazy. I don't even know what we can do. Because like she looks out of her ship, and he just sees one of the big Atlas ships just get broken in half.
Getting broken in half by what I can only assume is like a jellyfish grim.
Yeah, like a really big one. Like not like the little one that like Salem used to eat Lionheart.
No, just a huge, massive one literally breaking the ship. I was like, oh no.
Yeah, and I actually really like how Ruby is, because Ruby has spent like this entire volume trying to, you know, keep her chin up, not let herself fall into despair, but like you can tell that she's running on fumes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Like really struggling to read, like, what are we even doing? Like she doesn't even know if there's anything they can do to help, which I like.
Yeah, it's getting to the point that even when you're as peppy as Ruby, there's a breaking point, and I think she is very much reaching it.
It's one of the things I loved about Volume 6 so much, if you recall our recaps of that, was Ruby reaching the end of her tether.
I am done with your shit!
Yeah, basically. And
speaking of done with your shit, here comes Mama Schnee.
Yeah, like, nice for you to let appear finally. And
just Klein's reaction, just like, oh.
I get the sense it's more like, because she's like shocked to see him, and I get the sense there's a bit of regret that like she allowed him to get kicked out. And Klein doesn't even say anything. I think he's just disappointed to see her with a bottle in her hand still.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, I was thinking like, you know, yeah, Jacques's gone, but that doesn't cure Willow's depression.
Yeah.
Like, she's clearly, like, she's destroyed by this point, years of emotional abuse of like just taking
broken.
Its toll on,
she's yeah. broken,
and I like that. I like the fact it wasn't just instantly fixed.
Yeah, because that's not how the real world works.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, I also like how throughout this episode, Whitley clearly has like no patience with her because she's never been there for him. So he's like, you know, so as far as he's aware, oh, just my drunk ass mum again, not being helpful as usual.
Speaking of helpful, though, Whitley, my God, we were wrong.
God, I'm so glad we were wrong.
I am loving. He's going to be Rufus.
I am loving good guy Whitley, because he immediately like, hey, hang on a second, we're rich. Why don't we use our money and resources to help the people in the crater? And I'm like, what?
My God, Whitley, you genius!
Yeah, like him and Wise have like a proper like deliberation about using the robots under their control and their ships and their supplies to bring to the people in the crater. And he just needs to access his dad's computer, and to do that, because the power went out earlier in the scene, and so they need to activate the backup generator. And I'm like, yes. Good guy. I mean, it's a bit weird to see Whitley kind of in the space of like, what, maybe an hour, go from, ugh, I hate everything, to I'm gonna be a super cool hero guy. Like, it kind of, I feel like
he does. It's that moment where he looks and he's like, it sort of like clicks. It's like, wait. Because I do think it's a word like, he's like, okay, we can clear the Schnee name as well. Like,
oh,
it's,
yeah.
it's a mix of many things.
It's great. I feel like under different circumstances, I would have liked to have seen Whitley's growth happen much more gradually over the course of like several episodes, as opposed to here. But the thing is, though, one thing you have to really understand about Ruby is that it's not structured in a traditional serialization like way. Because at the end of the day, they kind of like compile all the episodes as a movie when they release it on DVD. So, and again, it, you know, with so many characters, we just don't have the time. So I'm fine with as it is. It's still good.
And it makes sense, like, in a scenario like this, it would be, and especially when we have established before this that Whitley wasn't completely far gone.
Yeah.
That this does make sense as well.
It is kind of funny how, like, his dad's gone for, like, a day, and he's like, oh, suddenly I'm not an asshole anymore. That's weird. Was that Jacques' semblance? Was his power, like, or anyone who, as long as you maintain within a certain radius of my being, you will become an absolute dick.
Wow, what a semblance.
Jacques, you suck. Yeah, so
that's how they defeat Salem.
Throwing Jacques at her?
It cancels her evilness out.
That's not how it works.
That's not how the semblance works.
Yeah, exactly. But and then we get a really nice scene between Ruby and Blake where To be, I mean, I say it's really nice. I did kind of chuckle how Blake's like, "Ah, oh, when I was a girl, you know, the realities of this world took their toll on me." Blake, you're a year older than Ruby. You're not like 28. Like, calm down.
You're not that old yet.
Oh, Ruby, when I was a precocious young child like you, Blake, you're like 18. Oh, so many years ago. But it's just a really nice moment between the two where Blake says, I know you're struggling to figure out what to do, but that's never stopped you from at least doing something. And even though you're younger than me, I've always admired and respected you, Ruby. And it's like, aw, sisters-in-law bonding.
It's like, oh, this is all nice. And the electric power gets turned back on. Now let's get ready for the horror.
And this is, okay, no joke, I think this is one of my favourite shots in the entire series.
Blake's expression of sheer terror.
Lights come back on, Blake looks at the camera, like, immediately shifts to look of fear, and Ruby's like, what's wrong? Cuts back to Ruby, and there's just a flash, and you see the hound silhouette through the window. And it's like, damn, that thing works fast.
Damn, that thing's quick.
Yeah, it's like, that didn't take it long.
Oh, meanwhile, back with Willow, she's having more trauma.
Yeah, just like grabbing the bottle, and Klein's like, oh, don't you do it. But anyway, Weiss hears... Yeah. What?
Sorry, I was about to say, like, when it comes to Willow, like, her reaction as well to, like, because she's like, I can't do this and everything.
Oh, yeah, because you're lazy. The hounds does get into the house, and she just leaves, just runs, which is like, you know what? Yeah, no, fair enough. Like, I probably do the same.
She leaves before the hound gets in the house, but still, like, it's just this moment where, like, she's broken, and I'm like, this feels like there's something more there. I don't know. Like, maybe
I don't think it's necessarily hinting at something that's going to happen later. I think what it is that it's a case of, like, because, okay, not an expert, not a doctor. I apologise if I'm talking completely out of my arse, but I do feel that maybe it's just a case of, like, trigger responses where certain noises just set her off.
Yeah, that could be a point.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, she just hears the sounds of, like, it's kind of like, don't you remember back in, like, Volume 4 when, like, Yang dropped a plate and that immediately made her think
about it,
it's just a plate dropping, that had nothing to do with it, but the sound and the shock is enough
to trigger
that memory. So I think it's the same with Willow here.
Yeah, fair enough.
And anyway, like, Weiss runs off, is like, oh, hang on a second, my girlfriend's getting her ass kicked. And
No, before that, we have Penny getting up with the red eyes.
Because don't forget, like, before that, we've got Ruby and Blake trying to fight the hound and, like, doing the same thing that, like, Yang and that lot did. We're like, oh, it's just a grim. How hard can it... We've already done this bit!
Well, even Ruby picks up the fact that it started talking. Like, this thing talks.
Yeah, and, like, it goes for Ruby, and I'm sort of like, wait, that's not what Salem asked you to do. Because we do then find out later, like, because it is targeting Penny, but because Ruby, Weiss, and Willy have, like, Penny's fluids on them, it's mistaking them for Penny, which I thought, okay, that's a nice touch. I really like that. Mm-hmm. And I do actually, yeah, because, like, the hound tries to fly off with Ruby. Doesn't take so long to grow the wings this time. And Blake's immediately like, no, and, like, uses, like, a ribbon to, like, hold
no,
it
no, no,
down.
No, 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 hold it,
not,
hold it.
Not doing this shit again.
You are not getting away. And Weiss, like, arrives, and she's just about to, like, you see wings appear behind her. It looks like she's about to summon something.
Oh, that bit was so cool.
And then these centipedes come up, and it's like, well, guess you're not summoning now.
And here's an interesting thing that I didn't actually twig until way later, because that was clearly, like, a Nevermore that she was summoning. Now, the thing is that the way Weiss's semblance works is that she can summon monsters that she's defeated. She never kills the Nevermore. Ruby did. Adding that to my ship folder?
Oh, God damn it.
Well, somebody put it, like, much more eloquently than I, where they point out how Weiss now sees her team's victories as her victories. So it's not a case... She doesn't feel like she personally has to do it. If, like, her team has, like, defeated the Grimm, like, that's, like, a joint effort. They've all contributed, so it counts. And I'm like, ah, friendship. But yeah, no, before that, sorry, because we're jumping all over the place, because it's before that where Willow runs out of the room and then Penny gets up with the red eyes and I'm like, oh my God, Klein's going to die.
Wait, it's the fact that, like, Klein's, like, trying to call after Willow and you just see Penny rise up out of shot. That's the horror shot of, oh, you're dead. Thankfully not. She doesn't kill him.
Thankfully, all she does is just shove him. And it's like, oh, shoving, my one weakness.
to be fair, Penny's really strong, so we knew that was coming. But she does still have some like a semblance of self, where she is able to like somewhat break out.
Yeah, she's still trying to fight it, and that's when, because she starts activating her maiden powers, I guess, out of just response, and that's when the Hound's like, "Oh, hang on, I've got the wrong girl."
And it's the fact that like Ruby tells everyone like, "Oh, he's going after Penny," and the Hound just drops her.
Yeah, it's like, well, I don't need this anymore.
Boink! Like, yeah, so Ruby's down for the count.
Hound takes off. Weiss chases after it. Ruby's unconscious. So Blake tries to help Ruby and fights like some big centipede thing with like a big bulbous acid sack, I guess, which is like, that's just disgusting.
That's grim looking.
Yeah. And
thank you, I'll be here all week.
And then we get another really nice scene where, as Penny is trying to fight off the hacking control, like, Nora carefully takes her hand. It's like, yeah, Nora, save the day! And
Nora's doing something.
Yeah, no one's going to make you do anything you don't want to do. And it's like, oh, Nora's helping.
My favourite bit is when she goes like, it's like, oh, there's a part of me that's making me do this. She goes, it's only a part of you. Use the rest of yourself as well. It's like, oh.
Which is, honestly, it's a real, because it's like, oh, that's nice. And then like two scenes later, the hacking takes over Penny anyway. So I'm like, well, that was pointless.
Maybe it'll play into scenes later.
Hope. Yeah, you know what, fair. I will save judgment until the volume's over.
This all will be connected eventually.
Yeah. But and then it's like, Weiss is on the phone, cry, it's in the building. It's in the walls!
It's in the goddamn walls! When we cut to Willow, this is something that was last season. Yes, it was last season.
Yeah, because she did mention that she set up cameras in the house. Well, this is a really nice bit, because don't forget, she's about to go for like another bottle of the booze first, but then like the Hound comes into the mansion. Weiss like starts looking for it, and as she's like looking around, she then just hears Willow scream like, "Watch out!" or something, and she
behind just, you, and it just goes.
Yeah, and it turns out Willow's decided to forego the booze and is using the camera she set up to protect herself to keep an eye on the Hound's movement.
Yay!
And then she's like, wait, oh no. And then it cuts to Whitley, and I'm like, oh, is Whitley gonna die?
Yeah, because Whitley's got...
He's still trying to like get into his dad's computer.
Yeah, and he's got the blood on it. Well, it's not blood. I'm just calling it blood. It's blood.
Yeah, Penny's blood. And like, there's a moment where like the door opens, and like, oh no, it's
he
like,
thinks it's his mum because yeah, like she's calling like, him on the radio, and he's like, oh, I can't deal with this. And he sees the door start to open. He's like, oh, go away. And he's then sees the Hound start to come through. He's like, nope.
Yeah,
hiding behind the desk.
And again, another really great bit is that Whitley just starts cowering behind the desk like a scared child because that's what he is.
Yeah. And
he doesn't know how to fight.
Don't blame him. Like, there's a monstrosity coming towards you. I think most people are like, nope, nope.
Yeah,
nope.
It's a really nice tense scene, and the Grimm's even like, I know you're here. And I will actually have to say, minor criticism, I wish the Hound wasn't speaking so often in this episode. Like, I feel like that's kind of like taking away from its menace a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, minor complaint, but like, you know.
I don't mind it when it talks at the end, but that's talking about later. But...
yeah. And then, because this bit confused me a little bit, because it's so quick, is that it's around the corner, it's about to get Whitley, and then you just see like one of the summons barge into it. And at first I'm like, oh, Weiss, but Willow's there, and no Weiss. And I'm like, oh, did that Willow has the same semblance? Of course she does. It's a family semblance. She can fight too. Well, I don't think it's not. I suppose that technically, yeah, she can. But the point is, she used her semblance, possibly for the first time in years, to save Whitley, and it's like a nice symbolic moment of like managing to like care for her children again, or like protect her son. Because yeah. You know, even though she, you know, she's all like, "Oh, Weiss, you left Whitley with us." It's like, shut up. But like, you know, in a way, she is also acknowledging that she's been like a really shit mother, and is
very neglectful one. Yes,
and it's part of the reason why, you know, Whitley spent so much time with Jacques. Like, his mum wasn't there, so of course he had to latch onto Jacques and ended up becoming more and more like him. Mm-hmm. And but then we get also Whitley's about to, you know, run out of the room, immediately quickly turns back to hit a button on the keyboards to, you know, to obviously activate, you know, whatever it, I can't remember exactly what it is, but he's like, oh yeah, still got a job to do, click,
yep,
run,
activated the robots, yay, you've both been useful.
And the two just like bolt as the Hound chases after them, but then Weiss shows up with the ice wall,
It's like, ah, the ice wall will hold it back. Smash, smash. Oh, wait, maybe not.
Oh, yeah, it's like it's really strong. And, yeah,
this thing could smash through the wall.
Cuts back to Blake fighting the other thing, and she's trying to get Ruby to wake up, and eventually she does and just kills the Grimm that's about to kill Blake. I feel like, is it me, or does Blake have a habit of nearly dying in this show? I feel like
all
out
the
of,
time.
I feel like out of all four of Team Ruby, I feel like she's the one that gets her ass kicked the most. And Yang lost an arm. Like,
pretty much. Like, I'm trying to think, like, how many fights has Blake been in where she actively wins? I think it's only really been Illyria.
Don't try to think about it too much. We'll be here all day.
We'll be here all day.
Honestly, though, I think what's even sad, though, is that I may need to double check, but I'm pretty sure somebody pointed out to me, you know, Weiss has never won a fight, right? And I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, actually, that's a it's like volume 5.
Yeah, well, not just that.
But, exemplified that.
But, and then, anyway, Penny's hacking thing completely takes over her, and she just, like, just leaves the room, shoves Klein again. And I think, like, she shoves
poor
Whitley.
Klein.
No, she doesn't shove Whitley, but she just, like, walks past. He's like, where the hell are you going? And she's like, you know, I will open the vault and then self-terminate. And I do actually wonder, because, like, when she's hacked like this, because the Hound does attack her and just beats the crap out of her, and I do wonder,
yeah,
if maybe, I do wonder if maybe one upside to being hacked is, in fact, I also do have to wonder, because I get the sense that maybe the hacking isn't like what is directly controlling her, but I get that he's probably like just infected her with some sort of malware, whatever the hell you want to call it. That
yeah.
Just, so she's automatically hacked, so he doesn't require his direct involvement. But also, when she's hacked, do you think maybe she can't access her maiden powers?
That's the point, because she doesn't use them when she's in the hack state. She only uses them when she breaks out of it occasionally.
Because her being hacked is when she's completely, you know, robot-like. But her maiden powers are, you know, connected to her having a soul and being human. So I guess one upside is that she can't use her broken-ass magic when she's temporarily evil.
Ah, that's going to bite them in the ass for later, too. Because they're like, oh, yes, we'll use her to open the vault. She can't open the vault.
we'll turn off the hacking, then. Oh, where am I? Open the vault. Oh, like, I'll kill your girlfriend. Wait, I don't have a girlfriend. Oh, honey, you don't know.
Oh. Anyway, back to Penny being attacked by the Grimm.
Yeah,
it's like she's holding the Grimm back a little bit, and then the Grimm just grows another arm. It's like, hey, you're cheating.
And is like, just slams her about a bit, and then the rest of them, Team Rube, appear, and are like, let go of Penny, and the Hound does, you know, he's like, ah, oh, I'm clever, and he, like, threatens to, like, cut her head off or something. And at this point, Ruby's like, you know what, I am sick of this asshole. Silver Eyes, and the Hound just falls out the window, and is like, well, that's anticlimactic.
Also, the thing is, like, it tries to play it for a little bit, like, oh, did she kill it? And it's like, well, one, clearly not, because you're holding the shot of the broken window.
That shot, I felt, lingered for way too long. I'm like, just get to the bit where the Hound comes back through the window.
The thing is, as well, we know it also wasn't the case, because whenever she uses a Silver Eyes against Grimm, they always, like, turn to stone or just get vaporized completely, not fall through the window. So it's like, okay, what's happening now?
Yeah, it's
and
sort
then
of,
it, this it's, happens.
Well, it's sort of like, oh, come on, like, you're clearly going to bring the Hound back. Do something to surprise me, Ruby. Okay, Grimm's a person. I beg your pardon? Yeah, Hound comes back through the window, their head's off, but there is a person inside of it!
It's a cookbook! It's a cookbook!
Soylent Green is people!
Oh, it's another Grimm moment where we then see the guy's face, like, he's only got one eye.
Yeah, he's got some kind of weird scarring all over his face, and he's just repeating, you know, take the girl over and over. I'm assuming it's a wolf Faunus.
Yeah.
And at this point, one thing I was not expecting was, like, you know, when the Hound was introduced, I was not thinking, I bet Whitley and Willow kill this thing. You know, two characters with no prior combat experience. Because they just, like, push one of the knight statues on top of it and kill it. And I'm like, okay, Whitley and Willow have a body count now, I guess.
I think it's also the fact that the other three are just so shocked at seeing, oh god, it's a person. That
does
thing's
mean,
a goddamn person.
Does this mean that Whitley and Willow have won more fights than Weiss? That upsets me.
God, girl, you gotta win some fights.
Yeah, so... Okay, a part of me is a little bit disappointed that that's how it goes out. Like, around the midpoint. I was not expecting the Hound to get taken out just after the midpoint of the volume.
Yeah, but you know what that means, don't you?
You think it's going to come back? Or there's going to be another one?
Oh, there's going to be other ones.
Okay. Because, again,
this is pretty much setting up. It's setting up that that Salem's using people to create Grimm.
Well, okay, here's my theory. I don't think every Grimm equals a person. I don't think I don't think Grimm as a whole are people, but I think this proves that Salem has figured out a way to turn people into Grimm. Hmm. Which also, I don't... Here's the thing, though. Have you heard about the theory that some fans had that Summer was going to be the Hound?
Oh.
That was a theory. And I remember thinking, that sounds stupid. I bet that's not the twist. And then it was like, oh, okay, it's not Summer, but it's a person. But now I'm thinking, what if Summer has been turned into a Grimm?
She's one of the Gorilla Grimm we saw last.
I don't think she's one of the Gorilla Grimm. I don't think that's the twist. But I do actually. I am now adding Summer might be a Grimm to my theories list.
When I remember years and years ago, back when Harry Potter was good, when Deathly Hallows was going to be coming out, there were theories that. Do you remember the things called the Inferi that basically were zombies?
No.
There was a theory that Voldemort was going to, like, basically raise Harry's parents as zombies.
Oh, okay.
And everyone was going to think, oh, that's messed up. And it was like, oh, no, that's not happening.
No. But, okay, aside from, like, my minor issue with how the Hound is defeated, to be fair, that's a pretty good twist.
Yeah.
Some poor Fauna's guy just turned into this horrific monster.
I both like and horrify and am horrified of the design of him as well. Like, just like the features, like all like scarred up and you see the muscle underneath some of the skin as well. It's like, oh yeah, ugh.
It's messed up. And like the episode just ends with Ruby going, "It was a person," and it's like, oh.
It's also the fact you see the Grimm stuff disappear, but usually when the Grimm stuff disappears, it just disappears into dust. Meanwhile, here you see a skeletal arm underneath. It's like, oh.
Oh yeah, so yeah, the Grimm dies, but the body's still there. So,
Klein, you got clean up.
Oh, I know, the episode doesn't end there, because then it cuts back to the prison where Cinder's busting Watts out and just rockets out of there. I'm shocked she didn't, like, kill those idiot soldiers that tried to stop her.
Yeah.
Like, we'll stop her with our guns! And then she just leaves, and it's like, oh, General Ironwood's going to be so disappointed with us. I'm sorry, General Ironwood, I had my gun and everything, but it didn't stop this super powerful maiden lady with actual magic. Well, you know what this calls for? Gunshot. James, you can't just kill.
Stop killing everyone, James.
That sounds like insubordination. James!
Oh my god, though. No. It's that Asdiff video. Larry, you can't keep breaking people's necks. Larry! Larry!
Yeah, that's what he's doing. It just cuts to Ironwood's like, why are none of my soldiers responding? Because you killed all of them for insubordination. Oh. That's awkward.
Wait a minute. Are you questioning me? That sounds like insubordination!
Oh, I shouldn't mock a man's trauma, but it's so easy.
James, you just make it so easy.
Yeah, so, you know, decent spooky episode. Great way to get us back into the groove. I'm now super pumped again to see what's... I wonder if maybe the next episode is going to focus on Yang's team and them getting into the whale.
Yeah, I think so.
I hope Nora does something next time. I'm like...
I think she's still too badly hurt.
Yeah, a part of me is really worried that Nora's going to be out for the rest of the volume. Like, the way it's been going so far, I'm worried about that. I'm still super curious to see how far Penny's hacking thing goes. Like, how that's ultimately going to resolve itself. Because, like, yeah, Penny's unconscious now again, thanks to, like, the Hound's beating the crap out of her. But, like, when she wakes back up, is she, like, going to be in control of herself again? Or is the hacking going to, like, take over her again?
Lots of questions for next episode, which not long to wait.
Yeah, I'm glad it's. I'm happy it's back.
I'm happy it's back. I just remember sending you a message going, dude.
Yeah, well, yeah, because I saw it first. So I was, when you said dude, I was like, oh, he's seen the episode. Like,
oh, that blooming grim. Oh, but yes, that's. Oh dear, looking at the time, that's sadly all become fitting at the moment.
Well, that was the plan. I'd say this. I call this a success.
I call it a success, but I was also like, I got news here.
No, we have no time for news.
but news though.
I'll tell you what. Once the recaps are over, we will then discuss all the news that occurred over the last 6 months.
Oh dear God, we're never ends.
We will not be doing that.
I think I would cry if we tried that. What a horrible thought. So this is James Hall saying goodbye.
This is Michael Beckwith saying goodbye.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.